So we moved on to chapter 10 of the service marketing series, and this chapter we will talk about demand and supply. Yes, less like products, even service providers need to understand the demand, they need to forecast the demand, and they need to manage supply accordingly. There are no product inventories to manage, but there is manpower involved, there is service bandwidth involved, and hence demand and supply are equally important for service companies as it is for any product company. So first of all, let's understand demand and supply. What could be the different situations? So demand is customers wanting a service, asking for a service, looking for a service. So more and more people are looking for a particular service. For example, if you are a wedding photographer, for example, then everybody who is going to get married on a particular day would need to hire and book an appointment with a wedding photographer. But a photographer only has certain capacity, and he or she needs to understand the demand in the area that he or she operates in. So how many bookings, how many appointments can that one person handle in a day, in a week, in a month? In case if the demand is high, his or her work is good enough, people are recommending the person for wedding photography, they may want to hire a team to manage the increased demand. But even with the team, there would be an optimum limit of how many appointments or how many weddings can they actually cover. So demand is a customer looking for the service, and capacity is how many customers, how many contracts, how many appointments can you really manage as a service provider. So there may be a case where there is an excess demand. So more and more customers looking for a particular service. For example, again, going back to the wedding photography example, if there's one single photographer working individually as an independent service provider, maybe he can or he or she can only cover one wedding per night or per day. So in case if there are two customers or three customers wanting to book his services on a particular day, he or she may not be able to cater to all the customers. So if he or she accepts more than one appointment, then juggling through two weddings in a single day could be hectic, and the service quality may get impacted. So in this case, there's an excess demand. His capacity is maybe one appointment a day, but the demand is for more than one in a day. And this is an example of an individual person for a single day. Providers need to look at the demand over a week, over a month, or how many subscribers can they really take, and it depends on the capacity, depends upon the bandwidth, depends upon the cost, depends upon the resources. So excess demand is a situation where demand exceeds the maximum capacity. So in the case of an individual provider like a photographer, they can only maybe handle one wedding a day. If it's a dentist, for example, the dentist maybe can take 20 appointments during his or her schedule at the clinic. So in case if 30 or 40 customers want to book an appointment with the dentist, they may not be able to cater to. So they may want to increase the capacity, hire more interns, more assistants, but the current capacity is not able to manage the demand, hence there is an excess demand. A good situation to be in, but then you need to really work upon your capacity to able to address the excess demand, or else customers would be turned away, which is not good for business and the brand image. Then opposite to excess demand would obviously be excess capacity. So this is the opposite of demand. The capacity is more than required. So again, going back to the dentist example. Now, suppose a dentist is at the clinic for 4 hours a day, and he or she can handle 20 appointments, but they're only getting maybe 5 appointments a day or 6 appointments a day. So there's a lot of free time, a lot of unutilized time. The capacity here is more than the demand. So they really need to forecast what could they do. Maybe they can reduce the timing for a particular clinic and open up another clinic in a different locality. So here the capacity exceeds demand, not a very ideal situation for a business. Maybe you need to look at marketing, how to spread the word, how to attract more customers, or maybe expand the geography, as in the case of a dentist, for example. So excess demand could be one, excess capacity could be another. And then there's a situation where demand exceeds optimal capacity, and this is an existing resources being overutilized. Now again, going back to the dentist example, no matter how much he or she could work, the maximum that they can handle in a day is maybe 30 appointments across clinics, across geographies. 30 maybe is the optimal capacity given the time it takes to service one patient. So anything over and above 30, the dentist could not do much here. Obviously you can increase the optimal capacity by hiring more interns, more assistants. But as a provider, you really need to understand your optimal capacity. And unless you can really expand your capacity, you need to manage the demand. So how do you manage the demand? You could maybe look at reducing your marketing. Don't spread the word too much. If you are maybe spending, say, 2,000 rupees a day on your social ads, online ads, or other medium, you want to cut down by, let's say, 50% or 40% or 30% to ensure your ads, your promotions reach lesser people, and hence you're able to cut down on the demand and request for appointment. So demand may exceed optimal capacity. And then there would be a situation where demand and supply are balanced at the level of optimal capacity, a great comfortable situation to be in, because this is the ideal situation which any service organization can hope for. Now here, the resources are all occupied. All you can manage, say, is one wedding a day, and you are getting a request for one wedding per day. You're not stressed and you're not sitting idle. So you can handle 20 appointments as a dentist, and maybe you're getting 18, 19, 20, 21 appointment requests a day. So you're productive throughout your day. You're not sitting idle. Customers are not being turned away. So an ideal situation for a service provider, as no resource is stretched to the maximum capacity and it does not impact one, the service delivery, and there is no opportunity lost for you as a service provider. So there could be an excess demand. There could be an excess capacity, or demand may exceed your optimal capacity, and there could be an ideal situation where demand and supply are fairly balanced. So a good situation to be in. But whatever may be the case, you need to find out how to implement solutions, maybe how to manage demand or how to increase capacity. So that makes forecasting important. You need to really understand forecasting. So how much demand would be there for your services the next day, the next week, the next month, the next quarter? You need to forecast demand, because only once you have a fair understanding of how many customers may come looking for your business, how many customers may inquire for the service, you can accordingly plan your capacity. So demand forecasting is the activity of estimating the quantity of a product or service that consumers will purchase. So it's equivalent both for product and service industries. For example, if you're a manufacturer of air conditioners, you would need to forecast how many people would purchase air conditioners from your company in the next summer. So you may have maybe 100 retail outlets. You would look at past data, you would look at weather forecasts, and then you would have a scientific calculation, a spreadsheet that will give you a certain confidence level forecast that, okay, out of based on the last 3 years' data, the trend and the new products being launched, the marketing campaigns, X number of customers would buy air conditioners in the next summer. So you can accordingly plan your inventory, your manufacturing. Same goes for services. You need to look at past data. You need to look at recent trends. You need to factor in advertising and marketing, and then assess how many people would come looking for you. For example, if you do online ads. Now, if you do online ads, for example, let's again go back to maybe the wedding photography example. Now, if you are a wedding photography company or an individual, and if you want to place ads on, say, Google. So suppose if you are in Mumbai and you cater to people living within a certain region in Mumbai, and you want to run online ads, so people looking for wedding photographers may come to your website. So when you go on Google and when you plan your marketing campaign, and when you tell Google or any other search engine or social media like Facebook or Instagram or Twitter or LinkedIn, the moment you put in your geography, your target customer, location, demography, and your budget, they give you an estimate that, okay, if you spend maybe 500 rupees a day targeting people looking to get married, a certain age group, affinity, in the next few months, you may expect to get maybe say 100 visits to your website a day. Now, based on past data, you know that, okay, if there are 100 visitors to your website, you may end up getting maybe 8 to 10 inquiries a day. And out of those 8 to 10 inquiries, you may be able to convert 2 or 3 as customers. So that's your forecast. You know that, okay, if you're going to spend, say, 500 rupees a day on your search engine advertising, you can end up getting 2-3 appointments per day. That's just one channel. Then you may have your referrals coming in, your old customers, your old contacts. So as a wedding photography company, you can have a forecast that, okay, in the next 3 months, you can look at an average of maybe, say, 4 appointments a day. So now you can plan your capacity. So some days you will have excess capacity, some days you will be stretched to cover appointments, but you have a fair understanding that you will be getting anything between 3 to 5 appointments per day given your marketing budget and the planning. So you need to forecast demand to manage your capacity, and that holds true for products as well as services. Now, let's look at capacity versus demand. How do you manage capacity and demand? So one could be managing demand to match the capacity. Now, with capacity being a constraint, the organization must manage demand. Now, it's not easy to increase capacity or decrease capacity because it needs maybe hiring resources, for example. Again, going back to the same example, for a wedding photography company. Now, in case if they want to increase capacity, they need to hire more photographers and they need to buy more equipment. There's a cost involved. In case for the dentist, if he wants to increase the capacity, he needs to hire assistants, interns, or maybe open up a new clinic. Again, cost involved, resources involved. So it must come out with strategies which would enable nil impact on the service delivery to the customers. One such strategy is the waiting line strategy. This you may have observed when you go to some very famous or a restaurant that people really love to go to. So when you go for dinner, you have a waiting line, they put some chairs outside the restaurant and they ask customers to please sit and wait while they enter the names in the register. And as and when tables are empty and people move out, they call in customers from the waiting line. And when customers go there, the manager would tell the customer the estimated wait time. Now that's an example of the waiting line strategy. So if you're going for dinner at say 8 p.m. on a Sunday, you know that the restaurant is always busy and occupied and filled with customers. So you may have to wait maybe 10, 15, 20 minutes to get a table. You know this because of your past experiences, and you know this because the manager would tell you that, sir, would you like to kindly wait till there is a table available for you and your family. So that's the waiting line strategy. This also happens when you maybe call a customer helpline. You get an automated voice message that tells you that you are in queue number 8 and there are 7. So you know that there are 7 people waiting before you to talk to the customer service rep. Another example of the waiting line strategy. This also happens when you are taking a flight. At times the captain would announce that we are 3rd in queue or we are 15th in queue. So you know that, okay, there are 14 more aircrafts waiting to fly before your aircraft could take off. So it gives you an estimate of the wait time. So waiting line strategy is one way that you could manage demand. The other way, as we discussed, is managing and reducing demand or increasing demand by tweaking your marketing campaigns. You could reduce the budget, you could increase the budget, and you can reduce or increase demand to match the capacity. Then you have to to manage capacity to match the demand. Now, here the organization manages capacity in several ways. Could be hiring more resources in terms of the dentist example, in the photography example, it could be hiring more equipment and again hiring more photographers. So this is a little difficult because here there is cost involved and you can't take decisions basis just a few days of data, because once you increase your capacity, it's going to be there for long term. Suppose the dentist opens up another clinic or hires two assistants based on just 1 week of data and the demand reduces the next month, then he may have to fire the assistants. He may have to close down the clinic. Not an ideal situation, not an easy decision to be made. Hence, managing capacity to match the demand is a little difficult compared to matching demand to match the capacity. However, sometimes this is not in your control. Sometimes you cannot really manage the demand because you're not maybe marketing enough. It's just that customers are coming looking for you based on word of mouth publicity, for example. In that case, the only way left is you match the demand and hence increase your capacity. So that brings us to another important concept, which is yield management. So what is yield management? Now, yield refers to the outcome in terms of your business revenue. So managing yield is to ensure the best outcome from the assets of the organization. So it is best utilization of all the assets and ensuring that they are not lying idle. So if you measure the efficiency, for example, yield management or yield calculation is a common metric, common KPI for manufacturing organizations. And okay, if I use maybe 100 kgs of raw material, how many finished goods do we get at the end of the manufacturing line? Same is for service organizations. So for example, going back again to the dentist example, for example, or the wedding photography example, how many customers are they able to handle if they have three photographers in the team? Or how many patients are they able to cater to if they have a team of four dentists? So you have to measure the yield and you have to shuffle the resources, schedule appointments in a way that you are able to best utilize your resources, ensuring two things. One, that they're not overstretched, they're not burdened and overworked, and second, that they're not lying idle during their work time. So yield management is about the management of available resources in such a manner that maximum output is achieved from the resources. So how could you do that? For example, if you have three photographers, how could you ensure that you get the maximum from them? One could be that you assign them appointments that are closer geographically. For example, you cannot have them traveling 20 kilometers between two appointments. So how you schedule their appointments so they spend less time traveling from one appointment to another. So you reduce the changeover time. That could be one way of doing it. So how do you manage, how do you prepare the roster, how do you prepare the schedule that you are able to maximize the potential and the output of every resource involved in delivering services to the customers? That's yield management. So that's about managing demand and supply. Important concepts is one, you need to forecast demand. That's the most important, because unless you have an understanding of how many customers are going to come looking for you or coming to your website inquiring or are going to call on your telephone number, you will not be able to plan the capacity. So manage demand, understand demand, forecast demand, and try to match the capacity. And when you decide to invest to increase your capacity, demand forecast again becomes important, because accordingly you would want to invest in your business knowing that there would be adequate demand to get a return on your investments. And hence yield management becomes critical, that you're able to get the maximum output out of every resource. Thank you.